Just before we get to the show, putting this as a disclaimer, the majority of what I say here is my opinion on the show, obviously. What I say is my opinion, and before you go telling people what you may consider fact or what you may think I'm saying is fact, I'd highly encourage you to research it before you go telling anybody this is fact. So, just wanted to put that out there and enjoy the show. Podcast Phenomena Nation, spewing the truth since 2018. I'm your host, Max.
Ladies, beware.
And today, we're going to be doing something. I'm not really sure what we're doing today, so we're just going to. This is just an intro I'm recording a while before I start the episode because I just get bored and I really want to talk into my microphone. I just love it, I think it's so cool. So, I'm just talking. I'm just introducing the podcast. Like I said, Nation, you are the Phenomena Nation. That's what we call you. I'm your host, Max Pichette. Not sure what we're going to be doing this episode. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing a movie review. And hopefully I'll be talking with Kane and Luke, their hosts of different Phenomena Nations Podcast Network podcasts. So, you know. Anyway, you know what, like, is kind of weird? I just thought of this. So the movie sets are on movies are, like, super amazing. They have all this, all the detail, and they're big, and everything. And it's just such an amazing sight to see. But movie sound effects are made by the weirdest things, like the most mundane things, I guess. And I just think it's kind of weird, but I think it's cool too, you know. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, we will be right back after the break. Stick around.
Do you like having random people scream at you?
Yeah.
Do you like the Phenomena Nations Podcast Network?
Yeah, I guess.
Good, you better. Else I'll come to your house and kill you. Alright. Go check out Shelling Deer the Podcast with your host, Silas. And I'll be on the Phenomena Nations Podcast Network.
Do you have anything to add?
Just wait a few more 30 seconds.
Woo!
Woo! Come check me out. I'll be piggybacking off of everybody
Super
else.
Super mediocre.
All right, we're back with I gotta move my mic back a bit. We got a new segment right here. All right, this is gonna be good, I think. Now, the age-old question: why do we feel fear, and why do some people enjoy it? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this segment. And it's not October, so why should we be talking about fear? Well, I'm just getting you primed up, you know. Alright, right now we have an article by uwaonline.edu, online.uwa.edu, and it's entitled, Why We Physically Feel Fear. It was posted June 21st, 2019. Let's just start. Most of us don't view fear in a positive light. Fear is a strong emotion that can be scarring at its worst, and at its best is still uncomfortable. That said, fear is not without benefits when it comes to our well-being and personal growth. So what causes fear? What types of fear do we all share? What does it mean for our bodies? Why do we feel fear physically? Take a deeper dive into the complexities of this often overwhelming emotion and how you can view it in a more positive light. Alright, so this part is entitled, What is Fear? On our article that we're reading. And let's just get right into this part. Fear is an emotion. It is an emotion that has played a significant role in our evolution and survival. It can be crushingly strong and paralyzing, but it's also necessary for our safety. In fact, some types of fear we experience today are still closely linked to our instinctual need for survival, such as the common fear of heights and insects. Fear is an incredibly visceral reaction meant throughout the years to keep us away from predators and give us the boost needed to fight when necessary. Today, the stimuli that cause fear are sometimes quite different, but the body response is the same. Whether fear is caused by something not life-threatening, such as a scary movie or an overwhelming meeting at work, or something more dangerous, such as standing at the edge of a cliff, we still physically feel it. I'll scratch my leg. While we may be able to push past fear in an intellectual way, what happens physically is largely automatic and can leave us feeling drained. That's because no matter the cause, our physiological response to fear can be intense. What happens to our body when we encounter a scary event? Quite a bit. Now there's a new section to the article. How do we feel fear physically? And we're just going to carry on with this right here. Like many other basic emotions, fear causes physiological reactions in our body. Fear starts in the brain, and the physical effects throughout our body help us adjust so we can have the most effective response to a dangerous situation. On an instinctual level, our body is preparing us for fight or flee. Fear starts in the part of the brain called the amygdala. I'm just going to spell that out for you, and you can figure it out yourselves. So it is spelt, it's spelt A-M-Y-G-D-A-L-A. And next sentence. According to Smithsonian Magazine, quote, a threat stimulus, such as the sight of a predator, triggers a fear response in the the part of the brain that we were talking about, the amygdala, I'll just read like that, which activates areas involved in preparation for motor functions involved in fight or flight. It also triggers release of stress hormones and sympathetic nervous system, unquote. Because of the very automatic nature in the fear response, we usually experience it in three stages. Number one, freeze. This reaction is rooted in our evolutionary response to keep us hidden from a predator. Your initial jump and stop response is to triggering stimuli is automatic, meaning if you are truly afraid, you can't stop it. Run. That's step two. Our next instinct is to get away from whatever is causing our fear. Adrenaline helps you move quickly away from the trigger. Three, fight. If you can't get away from what's causing you fear, your response is to fight. Adrenaline helps you in this stage as well. Of course, these days, when we feel fear, we don't often have to hide from a predator, flee or fight. Still, the physical response we experience is the same. Most of the physical symptoms we experience when it comes to fear come from the changes in our cardiovascular system. Heart rate increases and blood vessels constrict. Your respiratory rate increases and adrenaline picks up. Your body is pushed into fight or flight mode, and other organs can be affected, including your liver and pancreas. Since your body believes you must prepare for a fight or to run, your muscles tighten, even those at the base of your hair follicles, causing your hair to literally stand on end. Prolonged fear and anxiety often lead to chronic pain in your muscles for this reason. Fear even causes a metabolic response, affects things such as glucose levels, which can increase your risk of heart disease, kidney disease, vision problems, and more. Therefore, prolonged stress on the body from fear and anxiety can cause many other physical symptoms and affect your long-term health. The effects on your body can be severe if fear is extreme. In fact, it is possible to be scared to death. Although rare, quote, it is the sudden, unexpected things which tend to cause a dramatic increase in heart rate and blood pressure and put people with pre-existing cardiovascular disease at risk, unquote, said Dr. Mark Damn it! Why can't people just have a regular name? Estes. That's how we're going to read it. E-S-T-E-S. There's a lot of ways I could read that, so we're just going to call him Estes. A cardiologist and professor of medicine. Luckily, most fear is short-lived, but if you find yourself fearful regularly, it may be a good idea to reflect and seek help to move forward and avoid negative health effects. Next section is called Understanding and Working Through Fear. Fear can completely paralyze you and can be harmful to your health when prolonged or extreme. But it also has a lot of benefits. For example, fear heightens your sense of awareness and can sharpen your thinking. If used correctly, this can be helpful to overcoming obstacles in everyday life. Acknowledging fear but pushing past it is useful, and using it to grow is essential. Here are some ways to use your fear and anxiety to perform better in the face of scary situations. Number 1. Acknowledge and learn from your fear. Everyone encounters fear-inducing situations. Even if you don't act how you'd hoped in the moment, reflecting on why you found the situation so overwhelming can help you be better equipped to deal with a similar situation next time. 2. Understand it and be positive. Understand it can be positive. I don't know how that doesn't make sense. Fear can be a sign that you're doing things that are out of your comfort zone. Understanding that fear can be a sign that you're pushing yourself can help you push through and find strength. Number 3, grow to meet challenges. If something in your daily life is causing you fear, it might be a signal to seek self-betterment. Think about what you can do to meet the challenges causing fear so you're better prepared to meet them. 4. Gain pride. Overcoming fear is hard. It's an automatic process that can make you freeze and leave you feeling drained. If you push through, reflect on your bravery and be proud. If you're interested in studying fear and brain psychology, our online bachelor degree in psychology leaves little to be afraid of. At the University of West Alabama, you can earn your degree entirely online at one of the state's most affordable institutions. If you already hold a bachelor's degree but would like to sharpen your scholarly research skills, you can benefit from our online master's degree in experimental psychology. So yeah, we're just going to go to break here. I'm going to leave the link to that article in the description. We're just going to go to break, and then we're going to read another article on why we enjoy being scared. We will be right back. Stick around.
You have been chosen. Yes, you, listening. For a brainwashing experiment conducted by the UN. You have been deemed listening to Too Much Phenomena Nation's podcast. You have learned too much of the truth. We must brainwash you. Please do not resist. It will be quick and painless. You will not remember anything. You will be given a new life. You have been listening to Too Much Phenomena Nations. You know too much. Please do not resist.
You know, I think that's probably my favorite advertisement that we have. The one for Lucas's podcast, actually. I think it's a pretty good ad, you know. Well, technically my favorite's one, but my favorite's mine, but you know, the ad that we just played That one's my favorite. So, you just thought I'd share what my favorite ad was that we made. Anyway, we will just be reading another article for you. This one is called "Here's Why You Actually Love Being Scared" on Insider.com. And now they have just a few points here, and we're just going to get right into it. Our last segment was why we feel scared, why we feel fear, and now we're just going to be talking about why sometimes we enjoy it. And let's just get right into it. The first point they have: many people love horror films, despite the fact that they bring our heart rates up and even make us scream. Point number two: part of the reason people like being scared by movies is because our brains know we're safe. Number three: our body also releases dopamine when we're scared, creating a state of arousal similar to when we're excited. Number four: people who enjoy challenges and thrills are more likely to enjoy being scared. And now let's get right to the article. That's where it starts here. People love going to the movies to be scared. The 733 million made in horror movie ticket sales in 2017 proves it. But did you ever wonder why people like to put themselves through intense fear? Insider spoke with a psychologist to find out what it is that draws people to scary movies. Alright. This is a part of the article called "Your Brain Knows You're Safe." When something scary enters your awareness, whether real or made up, fear induces the fight-or-flight response, according to Dr. John Mayer, a practicing clinical psychologist who specializes in families, children, and young adults. At that point, your body determines if there is a real threat or not and acts appropriately to allow yourself to save yourself in the situation, if the situation calls for it. Dr. Mayer told Insider, quote, "If there is no threat, the physiological and psychological mechanisms calm, and there is no more reaction," unquote, he said. And now we have another part of the article called "Fight or Flight Still Kicks In, But to Your Benefit." If your body senses that you are not threatened, you will still experience fear, but instead of releasing hormones that make you stronger and faster for defense mode, your body releases hormones that essentially make you feel good under the right circumstances. Margie Kerr, that's what we call her, PhD, told Healthline. For instance, if you're on a roller coaster or walking through a haunted house, your brain knows you're safe no matter what may, quote, threaten your life. During that time, Kerr describes what happens to our body, quote, hijacking the flight response and enjoying it, unquote. She compared it to a high arousal state our body goes into when we're excited or surprised. Next part of the segment: our body responds to fear differently in a controlled environment. You'll often hear people laughing after a big scare because the body releases dopamine when we're afraid, a hormone that creates a high state of arousal. Not sexual, though. Similar to what we feel when we're excited or happy. You may find that you eat more when you're scared, according to Dr. Mayer. When the body is afraid, a hormone called cortisol is released, increasing blood sugar and blood pressure. The allostatic load also increases, which is the wear and tear the body experiences when exposed to chronic stress. Quote, "The increased allostatic load leads to an increase in consuming fats. Thus, we tend to crave and eat more popcorn and such at the movies and during TV watching," Dr. Mayer told Insider, unquote. There's another part of the segment, article. How much you like being scared has to do with your body's chemical makeup. Some people are way more into scary movies and thrilling experiences than others. According to a study led by Vanderbilt University's David H. Zald, it's possible this stems from the body's number of autoreceptors molecules that control how much dopamine and other chemicals are released. People with fewer autoreceptors may get more dopamine from a scare, leading to an addiction to thrilling situations. Zald told the Washington Post he explained this in a concept further in 2013 interview. Quote, think of dopamine like gasoline. You combine that with a brain equipped with a lesser ability to put on the brakes than normal, and then you get people who push limits. Unquote, Zactool, National Geographic, Zald. Next part of this the article, your personality and temperament may determine if you enjoy scare tactics. Where am I in the article? I just want to see here. Okay. For others, the desire to stick with rom-coms and action films may come from their personality and temperament. People who like to be challenged and enjoy thrills often find getting scared exciting. Those who have a more shy and sensitive temperament are less likely to go after those experiences. Psychiatrist Catherine Brownlow told Healthline, Those who have a more shy and sensitive temperament are less likely to go after those experiments, psychiatrist Catherine Brownlow told Healthline. And that was the last part of the article. That took me a while because there's like big words that I didn't understand. So we're just gonna go to break, I guess. And yeah, thank you for sticking around. I don't know. Too many big words get me mixed up. Anyway, yeah, like I said, we're gonna go to break. This is an ad for ads. You see, if you want to leave an ad in my podcast, that's great. You know, it's really cheap. You can email me about a specific pricing, but they should start around 20 or 30 bucks an ad. So you get an ad per episode, and if you buy one or more, you get one free. So if you buy one, you get one free. You buy eight, you get one free. It doesn't matter. You get one free, and which is pretty cool. So. And there's no limit to the amount of ads I can have. If you want to add in an ad, you can go right ahead. Just email me. Just before we get to this segment, I completely forgot to tell you the name of the movie I was talking about. The name of the movie is American Graffiti. So if you hear me refer to a movie, it's American Graffiti. So... anyway, we will just get right to it. Okay, so we're back now, and I'm going to be doing a movie review. This segment, I will be talking about the synopsis of the movie, and maybe probably a quick little rundown even. But, can't wait till I get the new studio. But, I was going to be talking about a review on a movie. This segment, I'm going to be talking about the synopsis, like I said. And then, after the segment, I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on the movie, and I'm going to be reading the trivia off of IMDb, and we're going to be rating the trivia. So, before we get to that, I have a cat on my lap, and he's such a cute little kitty, but he interrupts me when I'm recording lots. He comes and... oh, dog. Anyway, so he comes and interrupts me, steps on my cords and everything, and so right now, before we get to the movie, I want to talk about studios and stuff and where we are right now. Right now, okay, so let me explain to you the backstory of where I'm recording. So, when I was, it was about 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago maybe, I built this bed. We found some nice looking logs, and we shaved them down. We cut off all the bark and all the imperfections, and we sanded it down real nice. Then we stained it and cut the holes and everything, and we made a 6-foot loft bed. And that took about 3 months because we did 2 of them. So it's a pretty nice bed. So what I do is I just throw some blankets over the sides of it. And I have a new microphone now, so that helps a lot with the noise. And the blankets are supposed to absorb the sound of the background, you know, the hissing kind of. And I've been recording under here for a really long time now, actually. I think it was... Actually, I could check. Let's just go through my episodes here. Shows. Phenomena Nations. Right here. Let's go down. Okay, so... I think I started recording under here in March 2019. Yeah, I think that's what it was, actually. Yeah, March 2019. March 22nd was the first episode released. It was... Episode 31, Fortnite vs. PUBG vs. Apex Legends with 2 special guests, and that was Lucas and Ethan. But anyway, I just thought I just really wanted to know that for myself. Okay, so now our new studio will be coming soon, hopefully. It's, we got a 10 by 12 little shack, and we're gonna move it from my uncle's place to here, and we're gonna soundproof it and everything. It's gonna be real choice, man. And yeah, that's gonna be our new studio, and we're gonna buy a whole bunch of new equipment, hopefully. And again, that's what the Kickstarter is gonna be for, hopefully. So anyway, I'm just gonna read the plot for it that someone has written on IMDb. And let's go. It's the proverbial end of summer, 1962, in a small South California town. It's the evening before best friends and recent high school graduates, Kurt Henderson and Steve Bolander, are scheduled to leave town to head for college back east. Kurt, who received a lucrative local sponsorship, is seen as the promise that their class holds. And before I go on with the rest of this, there may be spoilers, so anyway. But Kurt is having second thoughts about leaving what Kurt basically sees as their dead-end town. But Kurt is having second thoughts about what Steve basically sees as their dead-end town. Kurt's beliefs are strengthened when he spots an unknown beautiful blonde in a T-bird who mouths the words, "I love you," to him. As Kurt tries to find the blonde while trying to get away from a local gang who have him somewhat hostage, Kurt may come to a decision about his immediate future. Outgoing class president Steve, on the other hand, wants to leave. Despite meaning that he will leave his girlfriend, head cheerleader, and Kurt's sister, Lori Henderson, behind. Steve and Lori spend the evening negotiating their state of their relationship. Meanwhile, two of their friends cruise around town for the evening. Steve has left his car to meek and mild-mannered Terry Toad Fields to look after during his absence. The wheels give Toad a new sense of confidence, which he uses to try to impress Debbie Dunham, a more experienced girl generally out of his league, and John Miller, who is seen as the king of the street race in his souped-up yellow deuce coupe, tries to get rid of precocious preteen Carol Morrison, who has somewhat become his passenger for the evening, while dealing with the challenge of a bold out-of-towner, Bob Falfa, who I believe is played by Harrison Ford. Anyway, we're just going to go to break real quick, and we're going to come back with my thoughts on the show and some trivia. And we're going to rate the trivia, actually. So stick around.
What is up? It is me, your host of the Poisonous Podcast team. So here in my podcast, we do this random stuff. I want to kind of keep it family friendly, just to kind of get plays, wink, wink. But as I was saying about that, you should listen to my podcast. Please do it. Also, I am a part of the Phenomena Nations podcast network, and there's a whole bunch of others which I can't tell you about right now. So go listen to my podcast. As I said, try to get me up to 1,000 plays in a couple of months. That's my goal. And other than that, see ya!
Okay, we're back, and we're just gonna get to my thoughts on the show. Yeah. So, and trivia. So, let's start with the cast first. I'd just like to quick run through of the cast. We have Richard Dreyfuss, who plays Kurt. Ron Howard, who plays Steve. Paul LaMatte as John. And Charles Martin Smith as Terry. Terry the Toad. And we have Wolfman Jack as himself, who is my favorite character in the entire show. Well, technically, it's not a character. He was playing himself. Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. Do some research on that. I really enjoy the history of Wolfman Jack. I've never actually listened to one of his radio shows. However, I am trying to find a way to listen to it. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get right to the trivia. While it's loading, I'm just going to tell you my thoughts on it. So, I think the experience and the atmosphere of where I was also helped with how much I liked the movie. Where I was, I was in Flin Flon. If you recall some episodes back, I was talking about this. This is only about 2 or 3 weeks after that, so I kind of put it off. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I could have, I should have done an episode on a little segment on this before, but, you know. Anyway, I was at a Flin Flon. It was outside of Flin Flon, actually, about 10-15 minutes. It's called Big Island Drive-In, I think. Drive-In Theater. And it's one of the, I don't know how many are left in Canada, but I'll look it up, actually. But anyway, the Big Island Drive-In Theater was super cool. It has such a good atmosphere. It's like they cleared out a little path to just a little open area in the woods. So there's like it's kind of like a clearing in the woods, so there's like a whole bunch of trees around you, and it's super cool, and they have like little piles of dirt that you park on, and it kind of tilts your vehicle back so you can see better. Oh, sorry, I'm just how many drive in theaters in Canada? A staple in the 1950s, drive-ins began to wane from the 1970s. Today, there are fewer than 40 still in operation in Canada. Car enthusiasts in High River are hoping a repurposed ambulance will be the engine of Alberta's first drive-in theater facility in 20 years. So there's fewer than 40. That's crazy. I don't know. 36, actually, is the number. Friggin' drive-in theaters rule, man. Oh, sorry. I hit the mic. Drive-in theaters are awesome. I don't know. It's awesome because you get to sit in your car and you get to watch a movie without having to be hassled. And then they have like a little separate place for concessions. And this is in Big Island. You go and you walk in and then you can buy snacks and stuff. In fact, me and my brother Luke bought movie posters that were actually used I'm pretty sure it was used when the movie came out. He bought one for Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. I bought one for The Expendables 2. Yeah, and they were $5 a piece, which is pretty cool. And we bought a big pretzel, and it was awesome. They had like a big jar of pickled eggs right beside the cash register. It was a pretty cool experience, if I do say so myself. And if you brought your classic car to the theater, you got a free popcorn. And too bad we didn't have a classic car, you know? You just had a truck, 2020 truck. Technically it was a rental, but anyway. And it was such a cool experience because we got to listen to it on the radio. Me and my brother got headphones, the ones I'm using right now to record this. They also have AM/FM radio, so sometimes we just put on our headphones and watch the movie with our headphones on, so we could, because it's on the FM radio. Yeah, it's like $25 a car, which is probably about the price of two tickets if you were to go to a regular theater. And you can sneak in snacks without any hassle. Anyway, let's get right to the trivia. And because I have an account on IMDb, we're going to be giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down to see if it was interesting. Okay, due to the low budget, George Lucas was unable to pay all the crew members. He offered to give many of them a screen credit in lieu of payment, and they accepted. Traditionally, only department heads received screen credit. Giving screen credit to so many crew members now has become a tradition, which is why closing credits last so long now. That's pretty interesting. So, like, the people who made the movie that didn't play the most massive role wouldn't have gotten screen credit back then. Which you kind of notice too, like, why are only like 10 people worked on this movie? No, it's because they didn't have so much screen credits back then. So that's weird. I never noticed that we didn't stay for the whole credits. So anyway, we're gonna mark that interesting. I found this interesting. Yes, I did. Harrison Ford was asked to cut his hair for the film. He refused, stating that his role was too short and offered to wear a hat instead. And that's pretty interesting, I guess. Yeah, because he wore like a fedora for his parts. There, I found that interesting. When Charles Martin Smith pulls up on the Vespa in the beginning, his crash into the building wasn't scripted, because he crashed into a building. I would definitely, before... excuse me, I burped. Before you finish listening to this episode, if just to make sure it makes sense, go watch American Graffiti. I mean, like, pause this episode, go watch American Graffiti, and come back. Because it's one of the best movies I've ever watched. Anyway, continuing. This is where he crashed. His crash into the building wasn't scripted. He genuinely lost control of the bike. And Lucas... directed by George Lucas. And Lucas kept the cameras rolling. Fortunately, the accident and the actor's reaction to it was keeping with his character. Furthermore, the accident got the first big laugh from the audience in its first public premiere, which Lucas and his friends took as a very good sign for the film. I don't know, I found that pretty interesting. So I'm going to mark it as interesting. When Wolfman Jack makes an on-air prank called a Pinky's Pizza, the voice on the other end belonged to George Lucas. I already marked that interesting before, because I was reading. Yeah. Anyway, Wolfman Jack, who played himself in the movie, was specifically chosen by George Lucas to play a role in the movie because Lucas remembered listening to him on the radio when Lucas was in high school. That's pretty interesting, you know. Let me just add that to interesting. One of the main reasons why so many studios initially turned down the script was because George Lucas wanted at least 40 songs on the soundtrack, which would obviously lead to a large bill. Francis Ford Coppola, fresh from the success of Godfather 2, 1972, the year before, came on board as producer. I don't know, that's pretty interesting, I guess. You know, yeah, there's a lot of songs in there. Universal thought so little of the film, not knowing how to market it, and certain that as it had no stars, it would flop, that it sat on the shelf for 6 months before the studio finally decided to release it. To their great surprise, it became enormously successful at the box office. I found that interesting. One second, I'm just gonna cut away from trivia here, just to... Here's the... So you got $777,000 was the budget. It made about $115 million. That's it. That's a lot of money. I'll be honest with you. Compared to what it was what it cost to make, that was a lot of money. We're gonna read three more. Trivias, and then we're gonna go to break. Sorry, I cut out there for a second, my microphone. I had to stop the recording and come back. Anyway, let's carry on. Here we are. When John, Paul, Matt, and Carol, Mackenzie Phillips, are sitting at the red light, a car full of girls pulls up next to them. One of the girls throws a water balloon through the window, and it hits Carol. It was scripted to hit the side when... Oh, wait. The water balloon through the window and it hits Carol. It was scripted to hit the side of the window and drench Phillips' face, who was then supposed to act really angry. However, she was accidentally hit square in the face and unable to refrain from laughing. Still, she kept going, ad-libbed through the scene, and George Lucas kept it as he did with many presumably garbled first takes in this movie. That's pretty interesting, I guess. You know, like, it's not overly interesting, but it wasn't not interesting, so I'm going to add interesting. Fred Ruse, a former casting director on the Andy Griffith Show, suggested Ron Howard for Steve Ballender. Ballender? Let's call him Stevie B. Howard accepted his role to break out of the mold of his career as a child actor. Grayson, my cat, get out of here, please. There, go, off. Yeah, I didn't find it that interesting, that one. This film was shot in sequence, so as filming went on and the actors grew tired from the shooting schedule, the characters they played would also look more tired, and more tired as the night went on. You know, that's true, actually. You know, you kind of notice it. That's pretty cool. Next one here. Ironically, George Lucas missed his high school reunion because he was too busy shooting this film. Yeah, it's pretty ironic, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. That's where we're going to end it here. We're just going to go to break. Stick around.
This is a comedic ad. What's your name?
Luke.
What do you do on your podcast?
I'm from Saskatchewan, Canada.
What do you do in your free time?
Podcast.
What's that called?
Podcasting.
No. No, what's your podcast called?
Oh, Timothy Talks with Luke.
Is it any good?
Yes. Yeah, it's okay. It's mediocre.
Is it part of any sort of great network?
Oh, yeah, it's part of Phenomination's
podcast
network, yeah.
So, where can I find this? Timothy Talks with Luke.
Oh, well, you can find it on Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts.
And many more of those.
And yeah, and lots. And lots more than that.
We're done here. Throw them in the...
Well, I think that's going to do it for me, Max Pichette of Phenomena Nations Podcast. Well, there's not much else to talk about, I don't think. You know, there's just this stuff. One thing I did want to talk about was my brand new cords I bought for my microphone. I bought six technically. New XLR cables. Well, it came in a box of six, but my brother and I split it. So of Luke of Timothy Talks with Luke, we split it. So I got three and he got three. My other one, the one that came with it, that Silas from Shelling Deer the podcast sold to me. It came with it. It deteriorated over the time he had it, so I needed a new one. So right now, they came in different colors too. So I have, let's see, what colors do I have? The one I'm using right now is a blue color. I have a green one, and what color is that? That's green one. Green one and an orange one. Blue, orange, and green. Those are the colors of microphone cables I have. XLR cables that plug into my Phantom Power, and. Yeah, so that's what you're hearing now. I'm not sure if it sounds different. To me, it sounds louder, but I could be wrong. And they are newer brand, so the same brand as my microphone, so it's not just one of those cheap ones. It was like $20. It was about $40 for the six, so I paid $20, and he paid the other $20, Luke, from Timothy Talks. He is just waiting. Before he releases any more new episodes, he's just waiting on his new. He needs an adapter for his microphone to work on his phone. So I have that one. It came with the Audio Technica ATR33XIS 3350. I don't know. It was a lapel clip-on one, but came with a adapter, which was worth every penny of the $50 I spent on it. I'm just gonna pause the recording. I'll be right. Sorry about that. The blanket that I used for sound absorption in my quote-unquote studio just fell off, and I had to put it back up. So there we go. Anyway. That's just going to do it for me. I think there's not much more for me to talk about. But before I go, I'd just like to say about last episode, episode 71, there was a couple audio issues. It sounded a very muffled for the first half of the episode. That was because I was still trying to find a good filter for the microphone that I use. And I think I found a good one now. What I've been using sounds a lot better than what I was using before. I was using the same filter as I was for the ATR-33 and the NW-666. But, you know. Anyway, this new filter that I'm using. I kind of customized it for myself. It's working pretty good. So, yeah. Anyway, let's just go through the things that I have to talk about. If you like this podcast, leave a 5-star review. It's free. Preferably on Apple. But, you know, 5-star review anywhere would help. Leave a voice message. There's a link in the description. Go to anchor.fm something something. It's in the description. You have to sign into Anchor, but I don't know why you aren't already, because it's awesome, and that's what I use to publish podcasts. After that, we have for questions, comments, suggestions for future episodes, or if you'd like some merchandise or purchandise. Email me at pachetmax111@gmail.com in the description if that's how you fancy finding it. What else is there? There's it was just on the tip of my tongue. Oh yeah. If you would like to join the Phenomena Nations Podcast Network, or if you'd like to get some tips on how to start a podcast. And straight up just email me, and like I said, in the description. There's also one more thing that I wanted to say, which was, oh yeah, if you have any ads that you'd like on Phenomena Nations Podcast, they're about $20 an ad, and buy one, get one free. Whatever amount of ads you buy, you get one free, so it's, you know, it's just a good deal. Completely. So, but your company only gets one free one. You gotta make that clear. Anyway, see you next week. Don't forget to say no to mandatory masks and party on.
You were just listening to another episode of the greatest podcast on the face of the earth, Phenomena Nations Podcast, hosted by me, Max Pichette. Phenomena Nations Podcast is a part of the Phenomena Nations Podcast Network, obviously. Other podcasts in the network include The Poisonous Podcast, Timmy T Talks with Luke, How About That A, and Chilling Deer the Podcast. We hope to add more soon, so if you want to join, shoot us an email. Tune in next episode for more fun and truth. Don't forget to say no to mandatory masks and party on.
Hey, I hope you stuck around. Stupid microphone, I have to fix that. There's a little thing I forgot to mention in the episode. It's after all of it, but I forgot to rank American Graffiti against the Big Board movie rankings, if you can recall them. I'll just read them out to you, because there's only about 10. So we have, number 1 is Emma Otter's Jug Band Christmas, number 2 is John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, number 3 is John Wick, number 4 is John Wick Chapter 2, number 5 is Turbo Kid, number 6 is Die Hard, number 7 is T is for Turbo, 69,419 is Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. And 69,420 is Alien vs. Predator Requiem. So, right now I gotta write this down. Do I have a pen somewhere? Just let me check. It doesn't look like it. One second, I'm just gonna pause the recording because I actually need a pen. Alright, I'm back, and so I'm just gonna fix something here. Die Hard is better than Turbo Kid. Let me just go right to that now. Die Hard above Turbo Kid. Although Turbo Kid was a very, very good movie, just because it's such low down on the list, don't think it's a bad movie. I reviewed it, episode 43, I think. So, let's rank American Graffiti. Is it better than Emma Otter's Jug Band Christmas? No, it isn't. Is it better than John Wick Chapter 3? No. Is it better than John Wick? No. Is it better than John Wick Chapter 2? No. Is it better than Die Hard? You see, this is where it gets hard. It's kind of hard to rank movies against different genres. But I'm going to go with it's not as good as Die Hard. One second. Yeah, there we go. I don't know why. It's just, I don't rank it as high as Die Hard. So it's going to go under Die Hard at number 6. Just American Graffiti. Number 6. Excuse me. So that makes it. Number 1 is Emma Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Number 2, John Wick Chapter 3. Parabellum. Number 3 is John Wick. Number 4 is John Wick Chapter 2. Number 5 is Die Hard. Number 6 is American Graffiti. Number 7 is Turbo Kid. Number 8 is The Short. T is for Turbo. 69,419 is Sharknado 3. 69,420 is Alien vs. Predator Requiem. And this will go in the description. So, now, end of the show. Forget, don't